a very gracious and good Sunday morning, and it's not any regular Sunday. Today is what the world calls Easter, but we know as Christians it is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Praise God. 3 days ago we were mourning and grieving, and we felt guilty, and we felt shame, and the shame that we felt went away. Because the man we know as Jesus, he was dead and buried, as they say in the Apostle Creed, and he suffered under Pontius Pilate. But 3 days later, he is alive. Have you not heard? Oh, pray tell. We shall find out more about it. But today, the sermon is entitled, What If the Tomb Was Not Empty? My, my, my. I'm Pastor Jay Rouse, and this is part of our Pastor Jay Rouse Sermon Message Series, courtesy of Rouse Ministries Broadcasting and Communications. And we will be right back. Yes, it's a day of celebration. So why aren't you celebrating? Haven't you heard? I just told you. Omega, the author and finisher. Praise the Lord. He is alive. We are alive because you can hear the sound of my voice, whether you like it or not. And today it is to declare and proclaim to the world victory in Jesus. Praise God. All right, let us look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll continue our celebration as we prepare for the Word of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we praise you this day. Father, you did say that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It may have taken you 3 days, but we know you are not late. You are an on-time God, and we revel in the glorious number of three this day. 3 days, Father God, it took to tear down and build back up. Three, Father God, is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Father, for that is a Trinity that we are joyous about, that there is someone there watching over us and keeping us. There was someone interceding on our behalf. And more importantly, Father God, that there is somebody who is actually with us, keeping us and strengthening us. And so by that power, we continue to fight on and we continue to press forth towards that mark and the high calling of Jesus. And Father, we just praise you this day. Father, for those who do not know you, it is our wish and our desire that they would come to know the glorious God that you are, and that there is a Savior that deep in their hearts, if they could just accept and understand that somebody would sacrifice their only son for them to live for all eternity. So, Father God, just continue to guide us and strengthen us, encourage us, and continue to give us the fuel to rule. Praise God. And, Father God, continue to give us that faith of a mustard seed that we can remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But as we prepare for your word, we ask right now that everyone who would hear, that he who have an ear, let them hear, and let them adhere to the word, and Father, and the doing, and the praising and the worshiping, because we know that we need to glorify you. We need to be thankful, and for this very day, we truly are thankful, Father, and if we don't seem so, please forgive us now. Be ever present right now. Have your way this day, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, again I say, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, again I say, rejoice.
Thank you. Let me hear you make some Holy Ghost crazy noise right now. Let me hear you. Come on, Zion, clap those hands with me. Come on, come on, all God's people. Come on, Mike. Do them up like this, do them up like this, come on. Here we go, next.
Thank you. thinking about me. You bled and died to show me mercy. You gave your all because you saw my need. I was empty, but you came and filled me. I was blinded, but you helped me to see. I was broken, but you made me whole again. I felt like nothing, but you gave me confidence. And I'm filled with so much gratitude, but words are not enough to explain the magnitude, the passion of my love. Oh, you took everything I want, made me what I am. Will I
Praise God. Ooh, I got caught up there. Praise the Lord. When Mary got to singing, "I Worship You," I just broke down and cried. I was just praising and praising. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we're going to continue with our service this evening, and we're going to read a scripture right now. There are a few scriptures that we have in mind. I'll try not to go too quickly, but you may want to look them up after. So that's the good thing about the program. It does record and it replays. Praise the Lord. And again, you can always contact us directly by email, pastorjrouse@gmail.com. Also, we're available on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Praise God. And I have to give a shout out to all those who have been listening this Holy Week. You guys have been doing an amazing job. I appreciate all your feedback through social media as well. And I want to give a shout out to my family in England, Barbados, and certainly my mother who is live on air in studio with me right now. Praise God. All right, we're going to turn to that wonderful book of Matthew. Yes. Remember, you find that New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Praise God. And so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 27. And I think I'm going to start reading from, I'm hearing from the Lord because I cut it down. We've got lots to cover today. And we're going to start reading from, yes, verse 57, until God tells me to stop. Amen. And I will begin. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb. Keywords there. I'm going to repeat that. And laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against. Now the next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day. Let his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. My. We'll be back to hear what the Lord has said. What if the tomb was not empty? This is Pastor Jay Rouse. We'll be right back when we hear from God.
Is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, my life is yours.
I'll just say yes.
Yes, Lord.
Life you gave
is not.
All right. We're back in Matthew chapter 27. This is Pastor J. Rose, and we'll see what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross. Let them see you, not me. Speak, Lord, and let us listen. Let us do, let us observe, and let us recall. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll look at Matthew 27. Now, we're going to go back down to the bottom, and I'm going to go to verse 57, and it says, when the even came, there came a rich man. The thing that we've got to point out here is that there was a great deal of prophecy in the Word of God long before Jesus even came flesh. And I can't say before Jesus even began, because we all know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and we know who that is. That is Jesus. And I know as young people or babes in Christianity, we didn't understand this Holy Trinity thing, and I'm going to break it down to you very simply in the fastest and most easiest method I can. It says that God created the heavens and earth. God Almighty, God the Father. And then we know about God the Son. And that is who we just spoke about, because it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And God, as we read in John 3:16, that God gave his only begotten Son. So that is Jesus. Now, when Jesus left, he said he would leave something with us, and that was the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, as some refer to it, so that we can do great things, and he even said greater things. And it is that Holy Spirit that sustains us, because right now God is watching over us, and Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us, and the Spirit is here with us to allow us to be able to do all things. Amen. Praise God. Broken down by Pastor Jay. But prophecy is very important. And I started to look at the word itself when I wrote it down a couple times, prophecy, prophecy. Basically, a prophecy means somebody who tells something that is going to happen. Now, the Bible is full of prophets, and these are great men of God. And when a prophet told you what was going to happen, you needed to take heed, because they were God's representatives. And it's sad when we think about how far some of these prophecies go, but then God created us. And God knew what we were capable of. And I'm going to tell you something shortly, if I can show you how far back prophecy goes, because God knew that mankind would sin, and God knew that we could not be right. And God knew he would have to send something. And I'm going to show you that in a few minutes, how far back prophecy goes. So it's a prophet who will tell you what you can see. Prophecy. Praise God. And so you're going to have to prepare, because things will be said and they're going to happen. And you will get to see for yourself what happens later down the line. Now, the thing about prophecy is sometimes they'll tell you when it will occur, and sometimes they'll give you ideas on when it might occur, and then there are other times when, well, we just don't know. We know that Jesus is coming back, the second coming of Christ. people think that they know. We have modern-day prophets who claim that they know, but are they really prophets? Because in the Bible it says nobody knows. He's going to come like a thief in the night. Nobody knows, not even the angels, not even Jesus Christ himself has been revealed when he will return. And so, you know, that kind of makes me really nervous because you know God is watching us. And then you kind of wonder, well, he's just sitting there watching us and going, okay, you know what, enough is enough. He's a parent. You know, sometimes your parents will allow you to carry on and act the fool, and you might be fighting with your siblings or getting in all kind of mischief. But there comes a time when finally the parent has to just step in and say, okay, I'm done. Enough is enough. And he's going to go, come, Jesus, come. Come on, come. Go on, go. And he's going to come through. And we're all going to be stunned, and there's so many of us are going to be saying, oh, I didn't know when he was coming. Of course we don't know when he's coming. And the whole purpose is to make sure that when he comes, we are ready. Not ready to say, okay, there he is, okay, I'm all set, but ready meaning that you've lived right, that you've accepted him as your Savior, and that he is your Lord and Master, and that you are living right, not just claiming to be saved, but doing all that is required through sanctification. Amen? Now, here's part of the prophecy and some of the bits and pieces that go along with this prophecy, and it's very important that we recall this. Okay, some of these points. In 57, in Matthew 27, verse 57, it says, there came a rich man of Arimathea. That in itself is part of a prophecy that was already told about a rich man's grave. Here, Joseph of Arimathea has come now to Pilate and said, can I have Jesus' body? And you notice the next line, it says, he went to Pilate and begged. You notice he didn't say, oh, by the way, seems you're not going to be doing anything with it. Can I maybe take that off your hands? Or you probably don't know what to do with him. No, he had to beg for the body of Jesus. Now, keep in mind, Pilate already knows something is up, and now he's trying to wash his hands of this because he got set up and is now the one who's being blamed for this when he really was not, because the Sanhedrin Council and everybody else, they were involved in having Jesus crucified for sins that he did not commit. And after the curtain of the church tore in half, and there was almost an earthquake. Pilate is not stupid. Pilate is a man of dignity, of power, and of wisdom and knowledge. This is a man who could control an army, the greatest army at the time. And remember, he kept putting him back out there and saying, no, then don't worry about it. I can let someone else go, or you could save this man. He has done nothing. Well, he knew. And now he's a little concerned, because you got to remember there were Roman soldiers at the feet of the cross. They saw there were people kneeling at the cross, at the feet of the cross, who now felt convicted because they realized, oh my word, it is true. He is the Christ, the Messiah, and they got saved and were at the foot of Jesus on the cross because they got to witness it directly. And now Pilate's very concerned because it's like, you know, the last thing he needs now is to find out that this prophecy that everybody's been telling him about is going to be true, because he realizes, well, my goodness, if these people know about this, there's going to be a rebellion, and they're going to come harder than they've been coming before. These people already have so much strength and power. we can't afford this. We're talking a full rebellion here. We've got to squash this. So Pilate is keeping a very good eye on Jesus. Now think about it. Most people aren't going to be that much of a burden when they've passed on. But it makes you wonder, why would Pilate fear the dead? My. So now after Joseph of Arimathea, he begged Pilate for this body. You notice he wrapped it in clean linen cloth. And he laid him in his own tomb and a new tomb. Now these tombs were basically caved out cavern in rock. They were in the sides of cliffs, and they were just basically gutted out. Solid, solid, solid rock. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you will know why I got excited there. Praise the Lord. And so there were rocks in these tombs that sometimes they would bury a few people. Some of them were small, and some of them were very big, and they could hold more than one body. Prophecy again calls that he would have his own tomb by a rich man and a new tomb. Amen? And this is going to become important because today's sermon is called, What If the Tomb Was Not Empty? So now he's laid there in clean linen cloth in his own new tomb, which was basically carved out of the rock. Now, you have to imagine the size of the massive rock that gets wheeled in front of the doorway of the tomb. We're not talking like a little boulder, because you have to remember that these things, people could walk in. It was like a little room. So they had to have a big enough rock to be able to block it. Now, a rock, anything bigger than like a small stone or a medium stone, is going to be pretty big and it's very heavy. So one person can't roll this, and it takes a few, okay? So now they go and they put large, round, massive stone, like a wall almost, in front of the tomb. Now, keep in mind, there are witnesses. It says, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. So they were sitting there. Now, you're going to tell me, if Jesus was still alive and he snuck out while they were trying to roll the stone in front of the tomb, and Mary saw, would they not have been happy? Would they not have been running off with Jesus? Even if he told them to be quiet, they would have snuck off to meet him someplace, and he would have snuck off. You have to remember also that Joseph of Arimathea, was right there. So he himself, and Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it, and he said, and laid it in the tomb. So he put the body in the tomb. And it says, and he rolled a great stone. So he didn't personally do it. He probably hired several people to do this because it is so big. There are several people there rolling this stone. Joseph of Arimathea is there. Mary and Mary are there. They're all watching. Now, we've got some more other people watching, because remember, as we go further down, it says, the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate. They came to Pilate. The chief priests and the Pharisees, yes, you know who these folks are. They came to Pilate saying, sir, we remember that the deceiver, this is what they're calling Jesus, said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Now, this is prophecy right there, because Jesus already told them, and they could quote him, that after 3 days, I will rise again. So they've got to make sure if he's a deceiver. Well, you know, he could be a magician or something. You never know. And so they want to make sure. So they go, and they said, he said he's going to do this. So command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day. So can you please go and send some guards to make sure nobody tries to roll this stone away? Let his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So they went to make sure that this never happened, that this proclamation could never be. So now we've got soldiers. Now here's the other part that's proof. Because it says, Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing, did you hear me? Sealing the stone and setting a watch. They didn't just go to guard it. They sealed it. So the tomb was sealed. I don't think too many people mention that. They sealed the tomb. And I can assure you, with the kind of fear that the soldiers had from Pilate, they were not going to screw this mess up. And they're not going to go, oh, we'll let these guys come and pay us, or they'll come and move the stone and roll the stone away. Heavens no. They feared for their own lives. So they guarded it well. Key thing is, prophecy needed to be fulfilled. And the sad thing is, this was the only way. Now, in Genesis 3, we're going to go down. Remember Genesis where in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? Yes, and now a serpent has come along, and, well, we already know who that is. And then we go down to 3. Let me see. I'm going to check out 15. We'll do it from 14. And Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. So, you know what? He's been destined. This snake is destined to crawl on his belly for the rest of his life. Amen? Because he's caused Adam and Eve to sin. Yes, we are at the very beginning of mankind. And dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. So he has been cursed by God. Amen? Now in 15 it says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Well, it's no joke. I don't like snakes. So I guess it's still true this very day. Amen. And between thy seed and her seed. So you know what? We were all going to not like this snake. It shall bruise thy head and shall bruise his heel. Praise God. Now, the thing that we have to read here, and I'm just trying to find the right verse. Yes. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow, and thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire thou shalt be to thy husband and shall rule over thee. Yes, yes, yes. But the thing that we have to remember is that God has already said that this will become our enemy between us and the woman and thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is going to basically be for the rest of our lives. So from then, God already knew that the enemy would always be at our heels. Amen? And we will always be taken up into defending ourselves against enemy. So God knew from the time he prepared them to cast them out of the Garden of Eden, he already knew that it was going to be an eternity or a lifelong battle with the enemy itself. Now, if God is going to continue to watch over us and protect us, and he knows this is going to continue all the time, then he's going to prepare to make sure that we have someone to take care of us. Now, I want to just go over to a couple books of the Psalms here. And in Psalm 22, it breaks down basically the entire aspect of everything that Jesus went through. Because it starts off, and you'll recognize this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Sound familiar? This is Psalm 22. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and not silence. These are words that will continually go through. We've heard them just the other day. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then it says here, they cried unto thee and were delivered. Remember we talked about delivery the other day? They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Who does that sound like? All that they see me laughing me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Well, who does that sound like? My. But thou art he that took me out the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's breast. Belly, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. My. And we'll see lots of things like this throughout the Word of God, and there are actual prophecies where they literally say how he will come into the world. They say how he will be sacrificed. They will speak of the 3 days. And the deliverance and the righteousness in which he will be. At the end of Psalm 22, it says here, all of the ends of, okay, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. So this is the eternity that God has promised. Remember, this was not promised prior in the Old Testament. Okay, now I'm at verse 27. All of the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed, here's the key part here, a seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. My. Now I'm just going to go over to Zechariah 12 in verse 10. And it said, oh, sorry, I'm going to read from verses 7, sorry, forgive me. Yes. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at the day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass, now here's the prophecy, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Now remember, last year we preached about Good Friday gathering grace. And we knew that the grace was Jesus. Amen? It says, the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom, listen to this, they have pierced. Remember, before Jesus died, they pierced him in the side. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for its firstborn. Now this is in Zechariah. Amen? There are a few more. Now the key thing here is the prophecy had to be fulfilled. If the prophecy was not fulfilled, then everything Jesus went through was in vain. Bad does it look when you tell someone, I'm going to rise up 3 days later after you've killed me or crucified me. Jesus even told his apostles, his disciples, that yes, that he was going to be raised up 3 days later. It was no joke. He was telling everybody. Now, can you imagine? You know how bad that feels. When you start telling people, oh, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, and then it doesn't happen. It's kind of embarrassing. But in this, there is no time for embarrassment. The world was on his shoulders 3 days ago. And now, remember, he's the author and the finisher. For it to begin, he has to bring it to an end. The prophecy started, and he went through it. From Palm Sunday, prophecy started to live out. And to finish it, he had to perform his very last miracle. And the tomb had to be empty. And there is no way that they could have found a way out. We've described how it was built, how it was locked, how it was covered, how it was sealed. And then the next day, the third day when he arose, remember, Mary went to the tomb and found it open. Now, here's the thing. You'll notice if it was found open and there were people watching it, guarding it, and you know that these Pharisees and these prophets, the Sadducees and all of them, they were going to make sure that nothing came out. And there were soldiers there whose lives depended on them guarding this tomb. There wasn't anybody else in the tomb because it was a brand new tomb and he was all by himself. Without this, nobody would believe it. Now, we know that God sent Jesus for a purpose. The one thing that I am truly grateful for is that that tomb was truly empty. Because if Jesus was still in there, we would not be saved. We would not have life eternal. The lamb would have been slain, but the whole thing is, it wasn't a sacrificial lamb that should have remained slain. But the fact of the matter is two things. One, he had to live again and rise again, and he had to be at the right hand at the throne of God to intercede on our behalf. Two, he needed to make sure that if he was going to leave, that he left something here with us so that we could continue the work that he had started. None of this would have happened if he had just died and remained there, and that would be it. Literally, we could say, unlike him, it is finished. But because he lives, hallelujah, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, as the song says, all fear is gone. And so it's very important that we remember this. As Christians, we can proudly stand collectively and read what they call the Apostle Creed. And it says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, yes? On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. If the tomb was not empty, we could not say these things. In Revelation 1:18, it says, by faith that he is our personal Lord and Savior, and that he, but it says, and is alive forevermore. He was dead, but is now alive forevermore. 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 and 17, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And in Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. What if the tomb was not empty? Today I say to you, I am thankful that the tomb was empty.
Love in all the wrong places.
love. He showed love. He sacrificed because of love. And God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's as simple as ABC. Admit, believe, confess. Admit that you're a sinner, because we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Believe that Jesus Christ not only is your Lord and Savior, but that he died, as it says in the Apostle Creed, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was dead and buried, and 3 days later, he arose. Amen? And confess. You know, an apology is really nice to get from people when you've done something wrong. But, you know, it's just like I used to treat my little son, Trenton. It is one thing to say, Mommy, I'm sorry, but I need to know what you're sorry for, because if you don't know what you're sorry for, then you really can't stop doing what you said you did wrong. So the confession is not just to confess that you've done something wrong, but what you've done wrong. So that way when you tell him you're wrong and you're sorry, then you can make sure you never do it again. He's always with you. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Remember, God knew that this world would be ever in sin from Genesis right to Revelation. He knew we were going to make mistakes. That's why he sent the sacrifice. And I don't expect you to be perfect, because we are trying to be righteous. Every day is a struggle, but that's why you are dead to self and you give yourself to God and you are fueled by that Holy Spirit that he left you so that he can help sustain you. Lead us not into temptation. We say that in the prayer. And deliver us from evil. We wouldn't have to pray that, and we certainly wouldn't have to keep praying that. And it's not though we did something wrong, but we are human, and we have to avoid these things. God is aware, and he's not angry. He just wants to know that you're making that effort to do right. You are perfected when you get to where you're going. I can only pray that you've made your elective sure and know where you're going, as opposed to not being sure. Because he has gone to prepare a place. And where he is, you may be there also.
Do I hesitate in heaven where Jesus be? Yeah.
J. Rouse, and I want to say a very happy Easter and Resurrection Sunday to you and yours from me and mine. What if the tomb was not empty? It's okay. Much like in the book of Revelation. At the beginning, we might not have looked like we were winning, but in the end, we won. Victory in Jesus, because yes, the tomb was empty. And Jesus lives. Jesus loves you. And so do I. He loved you so much that he literally died for you. He loved you to death. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forevermore. We all say, amen.
Promise.
Will be forever.